Blog Talk Radio.
The Anthony Johnson Show starts now. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. I hope everybody's having a good weekend, but we're going to get started, so without any more delay. So this evening's episode is The Revenge of the Imbecile in Chief. We are experiencing probably in modern history, modern presidency, quintessentially the absolute worst beginning for any president at any time, but definitely in the modern era. Donald Trump is a man who has absolutely no clear understanding of what it is to be president, because he never wanted to be president. Donald Trump just simply wanted to show Americans and the world that he could be president. And he won. Didn't win by himself. He didn't win because he had an outstanding assemble of intelligent people around him. He didn't have what George Washington had in the cabinet. He didn't have what John F. Kennedy had in the cabinet. He didn't have what President Obama had as far as cabinet. What he has is a bunch of individuals who will say and do anything to tear this country apart. The very group of people who support Donald Trump and who are in his inner circle are the same individuals that said that it was President Obama who divided this nation. Even if that is remotely possible, think about what Trump has done in less than a little more than a month of being president. Just think on that for a minute. His presidency has been an absolute joke. It has been horrendous for this nation. I know many of you may be thinking, he's going to turn a corner. He's going to do things right. Why? Why would he do anything correct now? He ran on a campaign, a platform of hate and bigotry and xenophobic, Islamophobic, homophobic, racism, and he won. There are actually people out there who actually still believe that he's going to do right. Donald Trump is not going to do right. It is not his intention to do right. Because as I said before, why? He won on that platform that I just talked about. But as I said earlier, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump did not do this by himself. We've already established that his inner circle and cabinet are not intelligent people. They're not learned. They're not learned individuals. No, he had help from a sector of this country that most former presidents would have killed their wives, their children, and the postman to get that type of help from this particular profession. The reason the news media is considered the fourth estate is because it plays an integral role in shaping our politics. The press is the backbone of democracy. And when it's broken, the other components of the system are unable to operate unchecked by the people they're supposed to serve. This is what we saw during the 2016 election. This is what we're still seeing today, February 25th, 2017. The top priority of many in the mainstream media is self-interest. Unfortunately, that's what it's become. Self-interest, self-promotion. Informing is no longer the main objective, and it is, without a shadow of a doubt, having an effect on our democracy. When the people are misinformed, they elect leaders who don't represent their best interests, resulting in the congressional gridlock and policy that does not propel us into the future. This is what we're seeing right now in this country. This is what we're seeing right now, today, because the media was one who failed to do the very basic thing that it was supposed to do, report facts without being subjective. This is something that they learn, and when you attend college and you're a communications major, this is the very essence of what you're taught. This is the backbone. This is the foundation that you're taught, because the educators know, the instructors know that if we glean over that, then there's going to be a problem. So, where are we today? The mainstream media's obsession, pursuit of ratings, clicks, and the normalizing of false equivalency in order to appear fair and balanced has come to the mainstream information, a misinformation age, I might say, where 80% of Americans don't trust the news they are reading, ladies and gentlemen. 80% of Americans do not have any trust. That's a problem. That's a serious problem in this country, and we need to address it. But we can't address it without first the media doing its job. And by the media not doing its job, we cannot move forward. And in the process, we continue to elect individuals like Donald Trump. But not just Donald Trump. If you take a look at our Congress, our Senate, state senators, our mayors, our governors, our city council members, they have all failed horribly for this nation. And that's why 80% of Americans don't trust the news they are reading. And while some journalists out there do truly incredible work, the institution's respect for honest reporting has all but diminished, as far too many media organizations prioritize being first over being true, or are not seeing a story to its completion. That's been a problem. Their love affair with sensationalism places self-interest above the best interest of the American people and resulted in the mishandling of WikiLeaks, the Comey report letter of the FBI, James Comey, and a continuous false equivalence problem that permeates throughout the social media landscape. This failure to adequately inform Americans set in motion the rise and ultimately the election of Donald Trump. Despite the obvious influence that media organizations have over public opinion, even after November 8th election, many appear to be in denial and deflecting blame over their role in the action. See, ladies and gentlemen, the idea that the media deserves zero blame or did not play a significant role in the turning businessman Donald Trump into President Donald Trump, it's not only idiotic, but also delusional. So let's break it down. What happened? The chase for ratings and the obsession with being first. There's no better illustration of cable news' insatiable hunger for ratings than their obsessive coverage of Donald Trump. Throughout the 2016 election, cable news networks gave Trump the equivalent of $5 billion in free media. And since his election, if you remember one of the last diatribes he had, press conference, he talked about that. He was thumbing his nose to the media by saying, remember, every time I did something, you guys would write the report. The equivalent of $5 billion in free media. That's what I was saying earlier, ladies and gentlemen, that most presidential candidates would have slaughtered their family to get that type of free advertising. Even though they knew it was not in the best interest of the American people, cable news networks covered every rally, every speech, and every tweet with barely any fact-checking. He's called out CNN as of late, didn't invite them to CPAC, didn't allow them to come to CPAC, have called them fake news. CNN, as well as NBC, MSNBC, and especially Fox News, all gave Donald Trump an unfiltered platform that enabled him to deceive the American people. As each network streamed his rallies live, lie after lie went unchecked. Even after his outrageous Muslim ban proposal, he was still treated like a viable candidate, actually normalizing his behavior. This allowed Trump's fear-mongering, falsehood-driven message to be carried far and wide. Even CNN President Jeff Zucker said it wasn't right. He said, quote, "If we made any mistake last year, it's that we probably did not put too many of his campaign rallies in those early months and let them run. This realization came far too late. The damage was already done." CNN made another mistake Zucker failed to mention. In an effort to increase ratings, CNN some measures to appear fair and balanced. They created a panel of pro-Trump contributors that consistently lied. These contributors acted as pro-Trump surrogates and defended their candidate. For example, Corey Lewandowski, who was previously Trump's campaign manager before being fired in June of last year and was still getting paid by Trump until late September. Lewandowski signed a confidentiality agreement with Trump that prohibited him from speaking negatively about Trump. CNN knew this, and yet they basically hired a pro-Trump drone who was contractually obligated to say only positive things about his previous boss. Online publications have their own obsession, the endless pursuit of clicks. When a story breaks, publications race to be first to cover the story so that they can drive the most traffic to their sites. Even casual Facebook users have been infected by that attitude. Before reading the story completely through, they'll take it, they'll post it on their Facebook page, where on average some people have anywhere from 400 friends to 40,000 friends, which is frightening. That's fine, but unfortunately, the first headlines of a developing story are what usually sticks in the minds of the people that make those clicks. When an online publication jumps to conclusions and quickly blasts out incomplete headlines before a story is fully developed, it may boost their bottom line, but it can also mislead the public. And we saw that through this last election process for almost 2 years. There's nothing wrong with the pursuit of profit. Please, sinister, when the unethical pursuit of profit at the expense of the American people. As cable news networks and online publications continue their chase for eyeballs on the content, coverage degrades and meaningful stories are diluted. The negative impact that this had on public opinion and American societal cannot be understated. We also had to deal with the media with their false equivalents and double standards. If you were anywhere near a television screen or a smartphone during this election process, chances are you've heard about the Clinton Foundation. And if you read or watched a report on the organization, you may have walked away thinking that foundation is more like an Illuminati than a charity. Pay to play, they said. Foundation donors receive special access to the State Department, they allege. All these types of charges ended up being hollow, with the worst being some email correspondent and some meetings with no direct evidence of pay to play. Of course, cable news and many publications said the email exchanges raised questions, as they do with her perceived scandals. At most, the scandals surrounding the Clinton Foundation were issues of poor optics, not anything sinister. The truth is, and I am not a fan of the Clintons, but the Clinton Foundation is a charitable organization that does some meaningful work around the globe, with more than 80% of its funds going to charitable causes like combating HIV and malaria in Africa. Now, the Trump Foundation, on the other hand, is an entirely different story. And some of you may be like, Trump Foundation? You might be Googling Trump Foundation. Exactly. The media didn't really talk about this at all. Although he hasn't personally donated to the foundation since 2008, that hasn't prevented Donald Trump from spending the money however he sees fit. He's been fined by the IRS for making illegal campaign contributions to Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, purchased oil paintings of himself for tens of thousands of dollars, and paid off $250,000 of worth of business lawsuits. All of this was done using foundation funds. The media failed to consistently report these illegal acts by Donald Trump. On Saturday, September 10th of 2016, the Washington Post David Fahrenthold published a piece. It detailed how the Trump Foundation has improperly spent other people's money for years. It was covered by online publications pretty heavily. With this new information, you would expect the Trump Foundation to be the equally will be equally scrutinized by cable news going into the next week. It didn't happen. That weekend was the 15th anniversary of 9/11, or as the media made sure we didn't forget. It was the weekend Hillary Clinton had pneumonia. What followed was some of the worst examples of clickbait journalism and ratings-hungry broadcasting, not just last year, but at any time. Story after story was published about Hillary Clinton's health. And if you watched cable news that week, you would have had no idea that there was a Trump Foundation scandal at all. That point being, when the Trump Foundation was caught red-handed, and they were, sending illegal campaign contributions to Pam Bondi, there was barely a peep. And when more evidence was released of Trump using foundation funds to make purchases for himself, more silence from the American media. When the subject was broached, TV commentators would say, well, looks like Clinton and Trump have foundation problems, end quote. But that is capable of complete misrepresentation of two distinctly different issues and foundations. One really is a charitable organization that is helping to cure a disease, and the other is a slush fund that Donald Trump used to make illegal contributions, pay off his business lawsuits, and buy himself signed Tim Tebow helmets. Imagine if the Clinton Foundation had been caught doing even one of those things. We would have never heard the end of it, even now. What makes this so worse, right? What makes this worse, ladies and gentlemen, is since the election, the Trump Foundation admitted to the IRS that Trump did intend to partake in self-dealing. The story was reported by, once again, Mr. David Fahrenthold, way before they admitted to self-dealing to the IRS. Fahrenthold had already laid the evidence out in plain sight for all of us to see, and yet cable news continued to fail to adequately report it. In the end, the Trump Foundation was guilty of everything that the media and Trump himself attempted to protect onto and attempted to project, I should say, onto the Clinton Foundation. The intent of appearing fair and balanced, media organizations have been embroiled in false equivalence. They become the embodiment of false equivalence. They created a double standard from which they judge Clinton and Trump on completely separate scales. A microcosm, if you will, of this kind of coverage was the way the debates were covered. As Hillary had very polished performance, in some cases she was deemed too prepared. When Trump appeared unhinged, unprepared, idiotic, and called that Hillary Clinton be thrown in jail, he was actually deemed, quote, on message, end quote, by the media. Throughout the election season, news organizations equated Trump blacklisting reporters from covering his campaigns to Clinton's reluctance to hold press conferences. They've equated Clinton's perceived lack of transparency to Trump's breaking precedent and not releasing his tax returns. Every president has released their tax returns. Even Hillary Clinton for a time was being criticized of, well, hasn't she given up her tax returns? And then when she said, I'll give mine up when he does his, she went on and did it. And Donald Trump never gave up his. He never released his tax returns. They threw both the Clintons and Trump foundations into the same basket and acted as if they were comparable circumstances. Then when the polls were released showing the voters didn't trust Clinton, they asked, they meaning the media, why? The polls are conducted by many of the news media, And then they were asking, why is Hillary Clinton disliked by so many Americans? Because they were culpable. They were guilty of helping Donald Trump. And again, a lot of people don't want to accept that. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump supporters. I'm talking about people who consider themselves, you know, who love this country, who consider themselves progressives, and so forth and so forth. But the American media played a significant role in helping Donald Trump win. Donald Trump received blanket coverage. His every move, his every tweet, almost all his speeches were covered across the networks. Bernie Sanders had an event where 20,000 people showed up. 20,000 people showed up to see him speak. And I think Donald Trump was doing something somewhere, and the CNNs, the MSNBCs left that event to find out what Donald Trump was doing. But media made candidate Donald Trump, pure and simple. Estimates of free airtime, you know, anywhere, at, like I said, between $1 billion and $5 billion. No presidential candidate in the history of this country, no modern-day presidential candidate in the history of this country has ever received that type of free advertising from the corporate media than the current president did. And what about Bernie Sanders? The Tyndall Report analyzed major network campaign coverage. So, for example, in over 1,000 minutes of national broadcast television airtime devoted to all campaigns, that's Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, of those 1,000 minutes, Donald Trump received 327 minutes, or close to one-third of all the campaign coverages. Bernie Sanders received just 20 minutes. Hillary Clinton received 121 minutes of campaign coverage, six times the amount Sanders received. ABC News World News Tonight aired 81 minutes of reports on Donald Trump compared with just 20 seconds for Sanders. And despite the media blackout against Sanders, he still won 23 primary contests and 46% of the pledged delegates. The media was not interested in Donald Trump. Hell, they was not even interested in Hillary Clinton. They were just going through the motions with her. Bernie Sanders, they just said, hey, who we kidding? Donald Trump was their golden rating goat. Even one of the president of CBS also said that, you know, we know he was bad. He would make a bad president, but he was ratings gold. So that's why basically he made it clear to his staff, every time this guy does something, I want it reported. In all sincerity, the American media is actually one reason why Trump became the imbecile in chief. Pure and simple. You see, we have to fight for the right of a free press, but the American media is just as guilty as those who voted for Donald Trump and those who failed to vote at all, and they should own it. So where do we go from here, ladies and gentlemen? Now that he's been elected with great assistance by the media, what do we do? Where do we go? The media covered Hillary Clinton like they were vetting the next president of the United States. On the other hand, they treated Donald Trump like the kid in the classroom who gets an A for effort. The American people were so distracted by emails, Russian propaganda, the Clinton Foundation, non-stories that they missed Trump's conflict of interest, the very real Donald Trump Foundation, self-dealing scandal, and the biggest story of all, Russian interference. Here's some advice to the media. From me to you guys, there's no forward progression if one doesn't own up to their mistakes and learn the valuable lessons within them. The last thing any journalist should be doing right now is being defensive. Own it. Claim it. Eat it. Because it's yours. You helped put Trump in the White House. It's as simple as that. Period. End of story. Turn off the lights on your way out the door. And you need to own up to it. You can reflect and make sure that it doesn't happen again. Unfortunately, I'll tell you in a minute why that's not going to happen. Put truth over speed and make social responsibility a top priority. My advice to the people. It's time we become more active and aware of the information we are consuming. We need to be wary of fake news and think critically and objectively when analyzing all information. Most importantly, we must fact check everything. If the press is functioning as a design and the people are vigilant, we will move towards a world where every individual has accurate and actionable information at their fingertips, where the U.S. Congress is not gridlocked by partisanship and or representatives work on behalf of the American people's interests, not their own, which they've been doing. The world can change, but only if we all do our due diligence, which we have not. We have not. We have failed. We can do better. And the only way we can do better is that we must be accountable and we must hold other people accountable. You see, that's it right there, ladies and gentlemen. But with all the Facebook and Twitters and Instagram and all the other stuff, let's stop with the media play a role in this. This is the second time the media has failed us. You know when the first time it was? When the media allowed Bush, George W., to go to war built on lies. Lies that a group of fifth graders would have easily debunked and did. Because at that time, the media didn't want to look like un-American. The Walter Cronkites, the Ed Bradleys, the Edward R. Murrows, the Mike Wallaces, the Harry Reasoners, the Morley Schaefers, they're gone. And all we have now is a bunch of ineffective substitute teachers. If we the people do not hold the press accountable, no one will. Good night.